Good morning. Good morning. As I said, welcome again to Go Church. We are so glad you're here. We hope you leave saying two things about us. Number one, we hope you leave saying, wow, those people were amazing. And secondly, we hope you leave and say, wow, God was in this place. Today is Be Our Guest Sunday. We have been planning for this day for months. How many of y'all got one of these tokens? How many of y'all got one of these tokens? How many of y'all visitors got one of these tokens? All right, we've been passing these around and passing these out and inviting people. We've been planning for months. Today is Be Our Guest. And when you think of Be Our Guest, you may think of Beauty and the Beast. So just if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. Just a little Beauty and the Beast video right here. Right there it is. Go ahead.
Be Our Guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre, why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France, and a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest. Be.
That's it. Be. Robin, was that the very first VHS? The very first, my brother bought us a TV when we were first married and poor as can be. We had just bought our first house, forget this, for $17,500. True story. And Abilene Dix's. And they went and bought us Beauty and the Beast. And so how many of y'all seen that movie? 99% of you. This song revolves around the castle, the furniture, the dishes. Chip. Chip is the little bitty cup that's got obviously a chip. The song is sung around the dinner table. And my message on BOG Sunday, a little bit strange, but my message is called Dinner. And so it's a strange title, but you will understand in a few minutes. We probably all have some crazy dinner stories, right? Any of y'all got crazy dinner stories? Well, let me just tell you a couple of my crazy dinner stories. One time when I was in Belize, my wife is already shaking her head. No, we were going to get a video of this because we have it on video. Now, my wife is a wonderful cook. She's amazing. And she had made this awesome broccoli cheese soup. And broccoli cheese soup is hugely filling. And it was just, and so I got about half the bowl done and I was full. I was full, and I was kind of in a goofy mood, because obviously I'm never in a goofy mood. I'm very serious always, and I was kind of in a goofy mood, so I decided to start slapping the cheese all over my face. I had cheese all over my face. At that time, my 15, 16-year-old daughter was so grossed out, she got up, it ruined her dinner, she ran off to her bedroom, and my wife looks at me and says, "How old are you?" And I said, three years old. So, true story. We all have some crazy dinner stories. Let me just tell you, not a crazy, not a funny one, but kind of an odd one. Are y'all ready for this? Everybody know who's Harvey Oswald is? He's the guy that assassinated President Kennedy. Well, and he was assassinated like 2 days later by Jack Ruby, yeah. And anyway, some you may not know about him. His wife, Lee Harvey Oswald's wife, was a Russian. And they had two girls. After Lee Harvey Oswald's death, the woman found a Baptist church and accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. So the two girls was raised in church and living in Dallas, Texas, somehow came to Highlands, Texas, where I grew up, and was helping my mom with a VBS. And so my mom didn't know who they are. She took them out to dinner, and she's talking to them, like, girls, you know, I'm so happy. I was about four at the time. I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years old. And my mom was talking to them, and she said, I'm so happy. Y'all are wonderful. Y'all did such a wonderful job. And tell me about your life. And the girl says, well, we don't really like to tell many people this, but my father was Lee Harvey Oswald. And so I had dinner with Lee Harvey Oswald's children. I don't know if that's a claim to fame. I don't know if that's infamous or what, but just a true story. That is him just seconds before he was assassinated, the father. I don't know. I just thought that was a kind of cool dinner story. So what kind of dinner do y'all like? How many of y'all like steak? Steak, come on. Yeah, medium rare. Yes, that's how I like it. Yeah. How many of y'all like lobster? Yes, we don't eat lobsters much anymore because our daughter is highly allergic to lobster and shrimp. So anytime Robin and I go on a date, we have shrimp, we have lobster, we have wonderful times. And so anyway, I like lobster and shrimp, and Robin makes this wonderful creme brulee. Everybody say, ooh. Y'all are not going to want to sit through my message today. I mean, y'all are just going to be ready to get home or go somewhere out to eat. How many of you ever been to Fogo de Chao? Come on now. Yes. Somebody took us there one time. I wouldn't pay for it myself. It's way too expensive. If you don't know what it is, it's a Brazilian meat restaurant. And you flip the card over green, and they continue to bring meat until you tell them to stop. It is amazing. Amazing. Laura's over there going, wow. How many of y'all have ever been to the Melting Pot? All right, Melting Pot, it's a fondue restaurant, just an amazing experience. If you've never been, Texas Steakhouse, come on now. Yeah, like, I don't know, 20% of y'all have been there. Dinner at our house normally revolves around the dinner table. We believe it's very important to eat dinner around the dinner table. Robin loves to cook it right for 6 o'clock because at 5:30, that's when world news comes on. And I got to watch my world news. And so she has it before or after. We sit around the table for about 30, 45 minutes. We talk about the day. We laugh about the day. We use life lessons to discuss principles into our children's lives. It is just an important thing to do. So let me give you some facts about dinner. All this will make sense in a few minutes. Through most of history, dinner was eaten at midday, not at dinner time. 43% of families in the United States eat dinner around the table. That's pretty good for 2019. We kind of thought it might be a little bit smaller than that. 43% of families. 20% of families eat their dinner in a car. Spain, if you go to Spain, the average time for dinner, get this, is 10 p.m. at night. My friends, that is just so unhealthy. And so I just want to tell you about that. Is this your dinner? All right. Yes. Even the chicken is still alive. And wife over here, or grandma, I don't know who she is. She doesn't want chicken, so she bought her own Subway sandwich. If you notice, the lemonade still has a fish swimming in it. Yes. Is that your dinner? Son looks like he hates his life right about now. One other question I have for you. I'm totally butchering the word, but how many have ever heard of dipnophobia? Anybody? Dipnophobia. You have? Crazy. Dipnophobia. Anybody else? It is the fear of dinner. Get this. Or the fear of dinner conversations. Who knew? One knew, nobody else knew. Dipnophobia, those people typically eat by themselves. Dinner usually refers to the most significant meal of the day. And lastly, the word dinner comes from the old French word, dîner. It literally means breakfast. I thought that was odd. But I thought that was quite a good segue into my message, because this morning I will talk a lot about breakfast, but it's not a breakfast story, it's a dinner story. And so you will understand it in just a second. My sermon is partly adapted from chapter 2 of a book called Down the Earth, which is about parables. Let me tell you what a parable is. Everybody that's grown up in church knew that Jesus spoke in parables. Parables were fictitious stories that brought spiritual meaning in practical ways. Jesus often spoke in parables. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, are parables mentioned in the Bible. Parables brought deep spiritual truth where in the local culture that people could grasp. If you couldn't grasp the parable, most likely you couldn't grasp the deeper spiritual truth. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to start with verse 28. We're going to read one of the parables. Matthew 21, 28 through 31. I'm reading from the Message. It says, "Tell me what you think of this story." This is Jesus talking. "A man had two sons. He went up to the first and said, 'Son, go out of the day and work for me in the vineyard.' The son answered, 'I don't want to.' Later on, he thought better and he went. The father gave the same command to a second son and he answered, 'Sure, I'm glad to,' but as that son never went." Jesus says, "Which of the two sons did what the father asked?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said, "Yes," this is where it gets a little, wow, change of pace here. "Yes, I tell you that the crooks and prostitutes are going to precede you in the kingdom of God." Wow, that took a huge turn. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's break this story down. Jesus told a very deep theological point, and he used a very culturally relevant story to do so. I'm going to take that parable, and I'm going to break it down into a little bit more modern story. So scene one, dad has two sons. They are sitting at the breakfast table on Saturday morning. They're sitting down. Dad's reading his iPad, Fox News and CNN. He's reading about the news. And he looks at son number one, and he says to son number one, "Son." And you have to, before I even say that, son number one has a mind of his own. And he says, "Son, I want you to go to the vineyard. I want you to work today with me." Son number one has a mind of his own. He has ripped jeans, no problem with ripped jeans. He's looking all cool and all. He's eating his Fruit Loops, which are up there. And he is this enjoying this Saturday morning. And he looks right at his dad and says, "You have to be kidding me, Dad. Saturday I'm planning to hang out with my friends. I'm planning on playing a little Fortnite. Besides, the vineyard is simply just hard work for me. It's a lot of bending. It's a lot of carrying. And I am here to tell you, Dad, that my answer to you is no." The tension in the breakfast table at the breakfast table was quite thick, wouldn't you say? His son, number one, was greatly disrespectful to him. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie The Secret Life of Walter Mitty? I mentioned it about 4 weeks ago. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. There's a picture of it. Let me tell you what went on here. Walter Mitty is a guy, because of some circumstances of a life, never did anything, quote, adventurous, and so he constantly fantasizes in his head adventure. And so if somebody does something rude to him, he pictures in his head him slapping the guy, but in like superhero ways, like flying over buildings and doing crazy things. But he never does anything quite adventurous because his life is pretty dull. But as the movie progresses, he does some crazy adventures, awesome things. It's just a totally cool movie. But I'm sure at this moment when the father said, "Hey, son, I want you to go work in the vineyard," and the son talks so disrespectfully, I'm sure the father probably closed his eyes and had a Secret Life of Walter Mitty moment, picturing himself slapping his son, which he probably would have just never done. But he thought about it. He turns to son number two and says, "Son, I also want you to go work in the vineyard." Well, this son, he's wearing Dockers. See it out there? He's got button-up shirts. He's actually at the breakfast table eating his breakfast, but he's also reading a book because he's very studious. I don't know if your family's kind of like mine, but when one of my children get in trouble, all the other children are angels. Anybody? "Mom, would you like me to go and sweep the kitchen right now? Would you like me to take out the trash? I mean, it's just going to be wonderful, you know?" And so because they don't want to be in on the in trouble moment, so they become absolute angels. So son number two, he turns to his son number two and says, "I want you to go to the vineyard as well." You know what that son does? He said, "Father, I was hoping you would ask me that." He's like, you know, I love working in the vineyard. Not only do I love working in the vineyard, I mean, he is just laying it on. Not only do I love working on the vineyard, I love working with my favorite dad. He said, it would be no greater joy for me than to go and work in the vineyard today. And oh, Mom, by the way, I'm about to go have to change into my work clothes to go to the vineyard. Would you like me to take out the trash as well? And so he runs along to go change his clothes. Well, son number two is quite upset about what's going on. Mom and dad look at each other and they think, at least we have one respectable son. They smile in a glee of like, son number two, thank you, at least one. Son number one, he jumps up, he slams the door, he jumps in his car, and he speeds off. On the way driving out, he's thinking, I can't stand my mom and dad. I can't believe what they've asked me to do on Saturday of all days. My day, they have a free time. And he's so mad, but he gets about a mile down the road, and something begins to change in him. He begins to think, man, I really have a pretty good mom and dad. My car, everything I own, they bought me. You know, I haven't worked in the vineyard in a good while, and I know I probably should be there. So you know what? I probably need to change my mind, and I probably need to go. And actually, in verse 29 in the Bible speaks about the son changing his mind, and the word there is the word he regretted his decision at the breakfast table. The word speaks of the son repenting or doing an about face. And son number one drives straight to the vineyard. And with a great attitude, he serves his father for the rest of the day. The father is so grateful for son number one, had a change of heart. He turns to look at son number two and then realizes that son number two is not here. In fact, son number two will never show up. Son number two was openly defiant to the will of the father. Son number one was openly defiant to the will of the father, but he changed his mind. Son number two seemed to be compliant, but was rebellious and never came. Jesus asked the question at the end of the story, which of these two did the will of the Father? The son number one who went to work for his father. Now here's the good news. This isn't a breakfast story. It's a dinner story. Son number one was a pain at breakfast, but he quickly became a joy at dinner. Son number two was a joy at dinner, but quickly became a pain at dinner. Unfortunately for son number two, this isn't a breakfast story. It's a dinner story. What matters is when the dinner bell rings. Anybody ever been in a surrounding that had a dinner bell like that? Come on now. Growing up at camp, I would go to camp and that dinner bell would ring. I may be in a canoe in the middle of the lake. I may be playing volleyball. I may be playing armadillo football. Yes, that's what we did. If you don't know what armadillo football is, you catch you an armadillo and you throw it like a football. And yes, we did that. We would probably be arrested in modern day times, but back then we could do things like that. I remember no matter where you were when the dinner bell rung, it was time to run for dinner. This is a dinner story. There's a warning and there's an encouragement in this story. The warning is talking about a good game. Saying the right things is not enough. The encouragement, though, are for those who have done the things that they regret, that they fear, that people will never forgive. Hear this, good endings can come from very bad beginnings. Can I say that again? Good endings can come from very bad beginnings. Son number one, he started not very good. He started rebellious, but it ended pretty good. God is more interested in your present decision than your past failures. Why? Because what was true of you back then does not control you right now. God has given you this greatest gift. It's called the power to change. The power to change. You see, the father didn't chastise son number one who went to the vineyard. He did not lecture him about what went on at the breakfast table. He welcomed him gladly to do the father's will. Today, in 2019, the father still welcomes people to the vineyard, regardless of their past. In fact, in Romans 3:23, it says all of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short. All of us have failed God. But the Bible goes on to speak in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, in the midst of our sins, Jesus came and he died because he loved us. The father doesn't hold the breakfast conversations against the son who ended up going to the vineyard. Maybe your past this morning is filled with running from God, trying everything under the sun to fill the void in your life. Here's the important thing about this morning, that God specializes in giving people a fresh start. This is not a breakfast story. It's a story about the dinner bell. When the dinner bell rings, and my next point is, it's dinner time. The parable here in this story in the Bible is just not a random story that Jesus decides to pull out of a hat and discuss one day. No, this is a story meant for cause us to reflect upon our own lives. Maybe it's a story that you can relate to, and you need to reflect on your own lives this morning. Maybe there are areas in your life, in your darkest hour, and you cried out to God, and you gave God promises. But today you find yourself not in the vineyard, not fulfilling what you said you would do. Perhaps there's a specific area. Perhaps it's even more than that. Perhaps it's your entire life that you have walked away from God, and this morning God wants you to come to the vineyard. Remember, it's a gift that we have to be able to choose. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. But the good news, you know this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave his only son, that whoever chooses, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You can tell yourself all day long, I will go to the vineyard tomorrow. But let me tell you, tomorrow's simply never come. People are all the way, tomorrow, next year, next month I will do this. We quickly find that we have been saying tomorrow for years. Tomorrow's just never come. Someone here has been saying, I will, later, tomorrow. That's today, because tomorrow's never come. There's this awesome story about a man named Charles Blondin. He was a French tightrope walker in 1859. He became the first person to walk a tightrope over Niagara Falls. Suspended 160 feet above the water, a quarter mile long, he began to walk through growing a huge crowd to watch him do this. And he began to walk through. One time he did it just walking. The next time he did it on stilts. The next time he did it on a bicycle. The next time he did it blindfolded. And the last time he did it with 150 pounds of potatoes in a wheelbarrow. And he came to the crowd, and at this time, this is 1869, I think I said, and the crowd is just, they had never seen anything of this kind. I mean, this man was amazing. He could do anything. And they're cheering him on. You can do it. We're so excited. You can do anything. They're so excited about what he can do. And he showed them the wheelbarrow, and they're like, dude, you can do it. He comes back, and he said, I got a question for y'all. He said, what if I dumped 150 pounds of potatoes, and what if I carried a human? Do you think I could do that? They've seen him walk with it on stilts. They've seen him blindfolded. They've seen him ride a bike. They've seen him do the wheelbarrow. Of course he could do it. So the whole crowd, yes, we know you can do it. He said, all right, who's coming in the wheelbarrow with me? No one volunteered. They said they believed, but when push came to shove, they were unwilling to put their faith into that belief. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. But back to the biblical story, back to the parable, that it's not focused at breakfast. It's a dinner story. It's not what we choose. Way back in the day, it's what we choose today. It's that we choose today to get to the vineyard. No matter how you've responded in the past, you can choose differently today. The question for us is, which son are you? The one that ended up choosing to go to the vineyard, or the one who at breakfast was compliant and wonderful, who said all the right things but was unwilling to jump into the wheelbarrow and put his faith on the line? You see, our walk with God takes more than an acknowledgement that God simply exists, but it's a choice to choose to jump into the wheelbarrow, to believe that God has a plan for your life, and God's plans for your life are best for you. This morning, I've asked Tracy to come. Where's Tracy? There she is. Tracy, would you come up here? There she is. I've asked her before we came here today. I asked for permission to ask you these questions, but is it safe to say that the choices that you made as a teenager, as a young adult, if you will, to go along with my parable, at breakfast time, were not always the best for your life?
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Yes.
Do you want to elaborate just a tad?
No.
Good, good, good. Your choices were not helping you. And most of you probably know her story. But she was in a car with her husband when he was driving drunk. The car flipped, and he was tragically killed. And she was right there. And in her darkest hour, she told me through this conversation that at that days following that, she was at rock bottom. She was contemplating suicide because there was no use to ever live. The good news is right after that, that God had exposed her to the gospel in a way that she had never heard it before. And she gave her heart to Jesus. Would you say yes to that?
Yeah.
And her life didn't instantaneously change, but it began a journey to growth. My wife gets the privilege of meeting with her about every 2 weeks, and she comes home just bragging about who you are, how God is shaping you, and the fireball that God is preparing you to be. You have a voice. You have a story that the world needs to hear. Because we have a redeeming God that does amazing things. Do you want to add anything to that? You don't have to.
It's been like when I didn't even know the life that I was living was so bad because no one pointed it out. And when he died, literally God, pastor sent them over, and I didn't even care to know Jesus. Didn't even faze me that I didn't know him, and I like immediately just dropped, like knew that was my only option, or I would have killed him. And I had kids, but I still didn't even want to live for them. And even after, I still screwed up, still made mistakes, and God just never ever left. ever. And then Travis, I've brought him along, and everyone, he's changed so much. That's it.
You can have a seat. For y'all that don't know, they got amazing children. And I do concur. Travis, God's doing a great work in your life. Thank you for sharing. She didn't grow up in faith. To follow the story, her breakfast time wasn't all that good. Her home life growing up was far from faith, but God drew her. God used tragedy, and let me stop there. I do not believe that God caused that pain in her life. But God will use what the devil meant for evil, and God will use it and turn it around for his glory. God used tragedy to connect her to people that would lead her to Jesus. It's not the choices that she made at breakfast that count. It's the dinner time and the choices that she makes today. Not only has God forgiven her, but God is using her story, and God is using her story today to minister to us. And God wants to use her story again and again to impact people's lives. It's dinner time. Choose him today. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe this story has caused you to reflect on your own life. That there were times and dark hours that you made promises to God. But you find yourself this morning not in the vineyard, not fulfilling what you told God you would fulfill. And today is a challenge. In what area of your life is God calling you to the vineyard? Perhaps it's your life that you find yourself, you've run hard from God. And today, it's a day to come to the vineyard. We've looked in the Word that all have sinned and fallen short. And the good news is that God so loved the world that he gave. That whoever chooses, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've also learned today that tomorrow simply never come. We need to make decisions today. Just recently, Robin and I were in a discussion about a major decision in our life. And I told Robin, I went to Robin, and I said, I need to talk to you right now about this. Because if I wait till tomorrow, I will put it on the side and I just won't do it. It's too big of a deal for me to, and I felt the Lord speaking this to me multiple times, and I've always kept it to myself, and when I kept it to myself, that means I get to forget about it tomorrow. And I said, man, we got to talk about this today. Is that you here in this place? It's a decision that needs to be made today. A decision to climb into the wheelbarrow this morning and say yes to Jesus this morning. Because good endings can come from very bad beginnings. And God specializes in giving people a fresh start. This morning I'm going to ask a very serious question. Do you find yourself this morning in this room far from God? And you said, God, I want to jump into the wheelbarrow. I want to step out in faith. I want to cling to you that your promises for me, your plans for me are good and are better than mine. I want to end up in the vineyard today. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and just, man, that's me. If you're in this place and you said, today, I want to give my life to Jesus. Would you just lift your hands? I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Just put it up so I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you back there. Anybody else? Be Our Guest Sunday was a day to present the gospel to you. It was a day that we focused very intently so that people could find Jesus. Now, I have a second question for you in the room. If you're here and maybe you know the Lord, but you have made promises to God and you end up today and you find that you're not in the vineyard, you're not doing the things that God's called you to do, and today you say, I need to make a decision. There may be a particular area. Maybe it's a struggle, a sin. Maybe it's an addiction that you have that you've made promises to God. Maybe it's a step of faith. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. And today you say, God, I choose to honor what I told you. If that's you, would you just lift your hand this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Would our leaders begin to make their way up right now? Now, if you're in the body, right now is the time to be praying for those that are going to come up here. If you raised your hand, especially the first time, man, I want somebody to join with you in prayer. Like I told you the story about me and Robin's conversation about a month ago, and God had been speaking to me several times over the course of 6 months, but it was just a conversation me and God had. And as a result of that, I would forget about tomorrow. It was too major of a decision. I didn't really want to deal with it, so I wouldn't tell anybody. But when I met with Robin and I confessed it and shared what God was speaking to us, she concurred and said yes to that. We need to step out and make that decision with somebody else.